32 degrees. We won't talk about it much, though. It's cold out there. It's not fun. Feels like winter's returns.
Yeah, especially since there's a lot of wind out there, too. We have a wind chill that's probably in the teens.
And much like the wind and the winter, I also have returned. But unlike the winter weather, I'm not going anywhere. So, and that winter weather looks like it's going to be going away just as quickly as it came. Looking ahead, the forecast, they're saying tomorrow, high of 51. So we can put away the winter coats you just got back out and go back to that I'm not sure what to wear today attitude that we all had before this.
Yeah.
So, you know, it works. It really does.
And I'll go back to my running tomorrow. I took a day off because of the cold and the wind.
Say, good for you. Good for you. I have to say that, you know, last night after leaving, I first of all went to get gas because gas prices went up. You know, I mean, you got to do that. But while I was doing that, I was sitting here pumping gas in and thinking, should I run tonight? No, I'm not doing that.
No, you would have had to run earlier in the day to experience it being at least a little bit warmer.
Yeah,
even though it would have been windy.
So it was rather cold, and I seriously considered it. It was like, okay, I want to get out there and run, but no, not in this. Not in this. So chances are today will be a day off as well from running. But tomorrow, you know what? I'm on it. I got to do this. But I tell you, the one thing we got to do is spend some time chatting with you on this tax day. Before we do that, though, and we missed out on the opportunity to do this with the rest of the country, there were, I believe it was either two or three moments of silence that were observed for the anniversary of the Boston Marathon bombing. And I just, you know, I don't want to say better late than never, but, you know, I guess at this point, I wanted to take the time as an audience here to just remember those moments. Certainly, it was devastating, but at the same time, the stories that we heard after that were just inspiring, that people stepped up and did what they needed to do to save lives and that kind of thing. So we'll just take a few seconds now to acknowledge the anniversary of the Boston Marathon bombing. And we thank you for observing that with us. I wouldn't normally do that. I wouldn't normally start on that kind of a serious note, but this is a serious day. And really the kind of day that you do want to take some time and remember that, because it's those events like that are really the things that teach us what to do next. You know, not only in a crisis situation like that, you saw people act, you saw people step up, and I heard a report earlier today that said something about everyone that made it to a hospital in Boston survived.
That's great.
Well, I mean, that speaks to certainly the professionalism of the men and women that were helping out at those hospitals. But it speaks to a lot of the people that just stepped up and did what was needed. When there was a problem, they stepped in. They, even without training, sometimes would put compression on a wound or cover someone or just do whatever it was that they felt was right to be able to be of some assistance.
Yeah, there were runners who had finished the race that ran to a hospital to donate blood.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
That was very courageous of them to do that.
And, you know, we remember those days after that, the idea, you know, Boston strong. And I guess I bought into that a little bit, but I kind of thought to myself, you know, that was one of those days where just for a brief moment, we were all Americans again. We weren't labeling ourselves as this little group or that little group or, you know, Republicans, Democrats, conservatives, liberals. No, we were Americans that day.
Mm-hmm.
And in the days after that, there were an awful lot of people that stepped up and did some of the right things, the stuff that we know we need to do when things like that take place. So wanted to take a few moments to acknowledge that and spend some moments on that. I also want to take a few moments to talk about some of the things that we're going to be doing here in the program. One of the things that Michael absolutely begged me for was another giveaway. He just likes coming up with these dumb, stupid, ridiculous trivia questions. So what we've got for you is a couple of tickets to Transcendence. This will be at the Celebration Cinema. Celebration Crossroads, it's called officially in Portage. Great place to see a movie. And this one will be on the IMAX screen. And no, I'm not giving it away right now. Somebody was reaching for the phone. I know. You put it down. It's fine. We'll get to it sometime in the next couple of hours.
Don't worry.
Yeah, Michael's not even ready at this point. So
actually, I do have a question.
Oh, you do have a question.
But yeah, we'll do it later.
Okay. You're even saying, but we'll do it now.
Yeah.
A different time. Okay.
I feel like Alex Trebek coming in with all these questions.
Well, if you're going to do that, you have to deliver the answer.
Oh,
and let
yes.
people come up with a question.
I'd have to do it in reverse order, and they'd have to say what is or when is, stuff like that. And if they didn't, I'd be like, nope, sorry.
I don't know if we'd call that dumb, stupid, ridiculous Jeopardy or what, but, you know, it's something anyway. But that's coming up a little bit later. Also, video of the day, a little something lighter today, as I always like to give you. And this particular one's been making the rounds, over 1 million views on this one. We've all been on the flight, and you sit there in between when they close the doors and when they back away. And even while they back away from the gate, they're giving you the, I'm going to teach you how to put on a seatbelt speech, which most of us ignore now. Well, this particular flight attendant made it impossible to ignore because she just put in a few lines here and there that made you sit up and take notice. I try to describe it. I can't even do it. She's hilarious. You got to check it out. It's in the blog section, WKZO.com, or it is posted on our Facebook site right now as well for you to check out there, too. So WKZO.com, check it out. You'll be able to take in the video. I saw you're chuckling over there. I'm assuming you must have watched that before the program. So it was a good one. I looked long and hard today to find the right one, and that just I was at the end going, all right, well, all right, one more. Let's watch this one. And as soon as I did, 20 seconds into it, that's what we're sharing today right there. So it was well worth it.
Yes, it
was. Well worth the wait. Now, one thing that it also is today is tax day. And we're going to be talking here in just a couple of minutes about the different ideas with taxes, polling data that has come out indicating what people think about taxes. And on a day when we have to basically turn our lives over to the IRS and have them go yes or no, we really need to talk about maybe some different ideas. You know, tax reform is brought up. It was brought up in the last presidential campaign, particularly the Republican side, lest we all forget Herman Cain's 999 plan that he brought up again and again and again. Well, we'll talk about that and some other plans. And just get your feedback on it, whether you think, all right, we're right on the money with what we're doing, or no, we really do need to be doing something else. So we'll dig into that. A little bit later, Terry Lynn Land has been taking a lot of heat over her comments from a couple of years ago about equal pay versus flexibility and that kind of thing. Brought the president's attention. Well, she's fired back at the president, and we'll share some of the things that she had to say. And talk a little bit about that. Equal pay, is this something that, you know, particularly if you're a woman and you're listening, is it something that you're interested in? Or are you interested in some other things as well? We'll kind of bring it to you, let you chat about it. So we'll get to that here a little bit later on in the program as time allows. But wanted to mention, it is tax day. And, you know, the day when procrastinators, not like me, my taxes are done, thank you. But like other people who are going, I really do need to do that yet. Let's see. Who's still selling TurboTax? Let's go find that. So there are people that do that. And I've talked to people in recent years that have said, you know what? I get a refund every year and it doesn't matter. I always put it off until April 15th. To which I say, really? Really? That's what you do?
Why wait for your money? If you know you're going to get a refund, why not, you know, do it early and that way you can get your money?
Now, I will admit this year that I put taxes off, but I knew taxes would be ugly just because I've lived in a couple of states and, you know, the whole partial year this and partial year that.
Yeah.
And it makes it a pain. It really is. And it's not the first year I've done it and I've dealt with that. So I knew it wasn't going to be easy. Turned out to be easier than I thought, but it was one of those things, it's going to be ugly. It wasn't ugly, and I'm thankful for that. But for some people, it is quite ugly based on what different investments they have or what different things they're dealing with income-wise and what kind of things, you know, what tax bracket you're in and whether this is deductible or not. Obamacare plays into it as well, and not so much for us paying taxes for last year, but there are a group of people out there that are paying estimated taxes for this year because that's part of what they do to be able to equal it out so that when they get to tax day next year, they're not going, ah! I've been there, believe me. I know what that is. But so for some people, they're dealing with Obamacare as well and with the impact of that and whether or not they've got the ability to pay those particular fines and or taxes or fees or whatever you want to call it. That's a part of it. The interesting thing about it, though, if on this tax day a poll came out, and this is a Gallup poll, and in this particular poll it said that 52% of Americans say the amount of federal income tax they pay is too high. 52%. 42% called it about right. And I found that interesting. I found that interesting because, you know, they talk an awful lot about, well, we got to make sure everybody's paying their fair share. And, you know, an awful lot of people are saying, oh, no, actually, it's a little too high. Now, when you hear this argument about fair share, it's usually directed at the wealthy and, well, the wealthiest 1% don't pay their fair share. When in truth, according to IRS data, the wealthiest 1% pay the overwhelming majority of taxes in this country. Now, going through the numbers of this Gallup poll, it says something about, I think it was 2012, those who said federal taxes were too high, 50%, up from 46% in 2012. Now, that was over the course of a decade. 3% say federal taxes are too low. That should tell you something right there. 3% say federal taxes are too low. Now, and the numbers break down in an interesting way and pretty much along party lines as you would expect. But here's the interesting thing. 58% of independents said their federal taxes are too high. 58%. So people that are running for office and thinking about saying, well, taxes, maybe they should go up. There you go. There's your block right there that you're trying to get a hold of. 58% say federal taxes are too high. Other than that, it's fairly predictable that, you know, they'll say, well, they're right on the money. So in the middle of all this, and in the middle of, you know, you deal with IRS and all of that stuff, and apparently audits are down. Should we at this particular time start looking at different options for our taxes? You know, a lot of people get bent out of shape over the IRS. And I understand that because, you know, it's basically this big monolithic government entity that comes along and wants money from you. And, you know, the money gets sent into the government basically on your behalf. You never see it. And then at the end of the year, it's time to settle up. All right, did you pay enough? No? Okay, here you got to pay in a little bit. Or did you pay too much? Oh, okay. Well, here's a check for you to make it right. And there's a thought that maybe we need to do something a little different in terms of the taxes and that kind of thing. Now, I want to get your input on this as well, because I don't want to just end up having all the fun here. So give us a call, 382-4280 or 877-382-4280 or 80373, and you could be a part of things via texting. If you just don't have the time to wait on the phone lines, you can get your thoughts to us that way, as some people do from time to time. When you do that, we'll be sharing some of those comments as we move along today. Now, one of the things that's talked about is the flat tax. And one of those things that's recognized is that we brought it up earlier. Herman Cain brought it up in his presidential campaign, the whole 9-9. I mean, I can't even say it without his accent. 9-9-9. There's just something about that. I don't know what he did to me, but there it is. And you know, he brought this up. I have to admit, I was skeptical about the idea that, all right, 9% individual federal, 9% business tax, 9% sales tax, and that covers it. Because I think, okay, well, how do we know all that covers that? And it sounds fairly simple, and it is. But I think the other part of it is there would be people that would say, well, wait a minute, these people are paying a lot less, and these people are paying a lot more. But that's part of the whole intrigue of the flat tax, the idea that everybody's got some skin in the game.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, there's an awful lot of people in the country that don't pay anything in taxes at all. And there is another group that pays an awful lot of the taxes. I mean, this is worked out because if you're more wealthy, you pay more in taxes. And, you know, the percentage rates play out and whatever it is. I think the top percentage is like 39.6 or something like that. I don't know exactly what it is, but it's fairly high, a lot higher than the rest of us pay. But there is intrigue to that idea because if you're paying something in tax, then you're going to be interested in what the government is doing with your money. And business thrown into all of that, well, there's, you know, some interesting things there because as business goes, if business improves, well, guess what? There's going to be more revenue. And if there's more revenue, then there's going to be more sales tax collected over that. Now, my biggest concern was a lot of states, and I'd lived in states where, and in areas in those states, where sales tax was as much as 10% already. So to add another 9% on that, you're looking at almost 20% for sales tax. Now, that's some areas of the country, not all. But that is one drawback to that, because if you throw some federal sales tax in there, state sales tax is already there for a lot of people. And that's going to be kind of an issue.
And then if you have places like Chicago, you have a city sales tax thrown on top of that.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And that's just it. There's a lot of different things to focus on there. The fair tax, the idea is that, you know what, it's going to eliminate individual and corporate rates. Basically, a sales tax is what they're saying. And in that, you're talking about a sales tax in the 25% range. Think about that. You go to buy something and we're going to add on 25% more. Okay, I don't know if I like that idea.
Yeah, that'd be a lot.
But there's, you know, there's a lot of ideas out there. So I'd like to hear your thoughts. 382-4280, 877-382-4280. Hey, maybe you think that our tax system, the way it is now, is just the way that it ought to be. Maybe you think that we've got what we need. Well, we'd love to hear from you. So give us a call, or you could text us, 803-73, and share your thoughts with us as well. Let's head on over to the phones and check in with Chris real quick here. Hi, Chris. Welcome.
Hey, guys.
Hi.
Yeah, I can hear the ghost of arguments past with the Andy Rooney types that you used to have on your show, where they would say, but a fair tax or a flat tax is a regressive tax. It taxes the poor more than it taxes the rich. You know, I think you're right in that, you know, everybody's got to have skin in the game. We have to have equal representation and equal taxation under the law. We can't, you know, somehow, you know, the progressive side of the argument has won thus far and said that, you know, if you make more, then you should pay. You shouldn't just pay more, you should pay a higher rate. And that to me seems like a ridiculous argument. If the objective is to grow an economy which benefits more people, as you made an argument earlier, you know, more revenue, we're going to have more people working, and then we have more taxes, you know, coming in, and then, you know, we could make the legitimate argument that we have enough money, and let's go ahead and roll everybody's taxes back.
Okay. All right, so, Chris, I got to run to a break. Yeah. I appreciate your call today, though. Thank you.
Yep.
Thirty-one degrees in Kalamazoo. This portion of the program brought to you by Comerica Bank. Raise your expectations of what a bank could be when it's time. Come to Comerica. Jeremy Lawrence here with you, heading right to the phones as we're talking taxes. John standing by on the line. John, quickly with your thoughts.
Yes. No, I like the flat tax. I don't like the 9% or the addition of the sales tax for the points you brought out. But for me, one of the key things. All businesses and all citizens of the United States, whatever, should pay, we'll use 9%, should pay that rate. But for, in my mind, for it to work, there are no exemptions. Regardless how many kids you have or if you're a business, how much money you reinvest or whatever, everybody pays a flat rate, period. And that I don't think would ever pass because it's too big of an industry, tax attorneys, accountants, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, it's a tough thing, but, you got to balance that, too, and say, well, you know what? That might impact the economy real well as well. John, I'd love to chat with you a little bit more, but I've got news coming up. Well, we'll continue the tax discussion. Thanks for your call, and we'll continue it with you as well. So make sure you keep it right here. Now, looking at the weather forecast, I don't know if you'll like it like that or not. It's 32 degrees right now in Kalamazoo. I don't like it like that.
I don't either.
I think I like it more like it was last Saturday. That's what I like right there.
I like it like that.
You know, somebody asked me, I was telling them about the weather, and I said something about Saturday's weather. This was like last week sometime, and they said, why? What are we getting? I said, we're getting L.A. weather, which L.A. weather is, no matter what time you check it, it's sunny. And 72.
It never
which
changes.
Which is what we had. So, I'd like to order that up if I could for what we've got right now. Sadly, I can't do that. So we're looking at cold temperatures. Cold. Will it get a little warmer, though? I don't know. When will we see that sunny 72-degree thing? I don't know about that either. But I do know one guy that does know. Just exactly when all of that's going to happen, or at the very least, he knows what's going to happen here in the next few days. And that is the one, the only Bob Larson, whom we are not blaming at all for the 32-degree weather that we're having right now at the studio.
That's nasty. The weather, that is, not the introduction.
I was going to say, because we're not blaming you at
no,
all.
No, that's very kind of you, actually.
But, it's cold today. I had to get out my winter coat. Put it away already for the year, so I had to dig it back out.
Yeah.
But am I going to have to keep that winter coat out, or are we going to see something a little warmer later in the week?
You have to keep it out for today. Then you may put it away safely tomorrow afternoon, only to use it again not until 6 months from now.
Okay.
Yes.
All right. Here's hoping. Bob said it, so I believe it.
We are done with the snow, and after tonight, we are done with lows in the 20s.
Oh,
how's that?
That is excellent news. I think we could probably make it through the next 12, 15 hours or
right,
so.
Right, right. That's what we've got. We've got to get through that.
I think we can do it.
Bob, you made my day.
There you go.
Michael wants to get back out running again. I mean, something stopped him at this point.
You can do so tomorrow.
Yes.
There you
and
go.
Not,
okay.
Not have to worry about frostbite.
Good.
All right.
Well, unless you were to do so at 6 o'clock tomorrow morning, with a little asterisk there, a little caveat. At about 9 o'clock tomorrow morning, you're good to go.
Okay, yeah, 6 a.m. is a little too early for me.
I was going to say, Bob, Michael's nuts enough to do that sort of thing, so I'm glad you qualified. But, break it down for us. What are we looking at in the next
few
days?
Well, we've got another very cold night, but it is not going to snow, and that's always a positive thing. The other positive thing is that the wind, which is still gusty, will diminish very quickly after sunset this evening and will become a non-factor during the night. But well down into the 20s, the average low in the middle of April is 38, and we're not even getting that for a high today. So it's obviously well colder than average. The low this morning was 23, and we'll be in that ballpark again overnight tonight. But that's the last night in the 20s, I think, until probably sometime in October.
Okay. Can we take that to the bank, Bob?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Well, what are we looking at? Because we're looking at warmer temperatures tomorrow, as you said. And then does it get even warmer after that?
Yes, it does. And warmer tomorrow to the point of getting to 50 or above in the afternoon, which is still colder than average. Mm-hmm. Average high is now 60. So it'll still fall well shy of that. But at least it is very definitely a step in the right direction. And then while chilly tomorrow night, it will stay above freezing, about 35. And then above 60 for high temperature on Thursday, which is pretty much average. So we get back to average here for the second half of this week. I don't see any big warm-ups. I don't see it going into the middle and upper 70s anytime soon like we had flirted with this past weekend. But we'll at least get back to average and more typical April weather, that being highs in the 60s and lows in the 30s and 40s.
Now, I'm understanding we're going to see that orange orb in the sky that we haven't seen a lot of lately.
Absolutely. Already seeing some of that right now. We'll see it again tomorrow and Thursday. Still a little windy tomorrow, but not nearly as gusty as today. It should be more tranquil once we get to the day Thursday. So all in all, things are looking up. We just got to get through tonight.
Okay, so with all of that said, you've prepared a word for us.
That word is finale. The not-so-grand finale, but finale in terms of the winter cold and snow and real feels and all that comes with it. That's still very much in play right now, but as we said, after tonight, we can say goodbye to that and close the book and move ahead to the next chapter.
I tell you what, Bob, with that word, you're singing our song today. You really are. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, it's cold, but you know what? We can deal with this if we can have those 50s tomorrow.
Absolutely. Now, snow amounts averaged an inch or two across the county last night.
Mm-hmm.
The far southeast, southwest part of the county is under an inch, but most of it's about an inch, inch and a half. And even as cold as it is, look how quickly it was able to melt away today. Much of it gone now, except for areas that are still in the shade. And that's just proof positive. This is how strong the sun's effects are right now. With the longer days, the higher sun angle makes a big difference.
So did we get close to any snowfall records? If this indeed is the last snowfall, is this does this put us near a record, or are we still comfortably below that?
When you're talking about a season, for the whole season?
For the season,
when we
yeah.
did the numbers on Friday, as I recall, we were just a few inches below 100 for the season. So we're pretty close to 100 right now, which is certainly above average, but not quite record territory. For most of the region, it varies place to place. We'll have to wait till the final numbers come out, but I'm not aware of there being any new records that have been broken.
Okay, because I know a lot of people were thinking we must have broken a record somehow. We just...
Record for the date, for the date of April 14th into the 15th in many cases, but not necessarily all-time seasonal record.
Okay.
Now, some of those records did fall across the greater region. Toledo, Fort Wayne, those places have already had, even before last night, record snowfall. So we'll have to see. I don't have all the numbers in just yet, but that's something we'll save for another day.
So we may have lucked out regardless.
Yeah.
So, all right. Well, you know what? I like the ending of that forecast.
Yeah.
It's a shame we can't move it forward a little bit quicker.
That's
but,
true.
We'll take what you give us, Bob.
Baby steps.
There we go.
That's right.
Baby steps to 50 degrees. Baby steps to 60.
Right.
All right. We'll chat at you again tomorrow, Bob.
Okay,
thanks.
Sounds good.
Have a good day.
All right. Bob Larson there with AccuWeather. You know what? I like the idea of no more snow, no more cold for a good long while.
Oh, I love that idea too.
Oh, I love the sound of that. Love the sound of being able to get outside again here. Yet this week, 50 degrees, it's good enough for me. I think it'll happen.
I'll be back to running tomorrow.
We'll be back to talking about taxes here in just a few minutes, so make sure you keep it right here. We're going to be chatting with you as well. Two degrees in Kalamazoo. I really don't want to have to say that ever again, not until later this year. Hopefully that's true. It's 3:52 here on 590 WKZO. Jeremy Lawrence here with you. Special announcement for you. The Detroit Tigers have postponed their game tonight. They're not saying what the makeup date is at this point. They did say that it would not be in this particular series. I don't know if the reasoning is too much snow on the field or just too darn cold either way. I'm imagining those guys out there in 20-degree weather playing ball.
And
it just, I can't really see, you know, just kind of,
I can just
swinging
see
the bat. It just,
I can just see them in jackets out there playing.
I don't know. Yeah, maybe they could do that, like, you know how the NASCAR racers wear those, you know, those insulated suits, mm-hmm. you know, the fire suits and that kind of thing. Maybe for the cooler weather in baseball, they all get fire suits, you know, because at the very least, you're going to be warm inside mm-hmm. that thing.
I'm guessing it had to be postponed due to cold weather. I was reading that, like, by the time the game started, that wind chills were going to be in the 20s, and they had 2 to 3 inches of snow dropped on them last night.
Yeah, I'd heard earlier today they said something about somewhere in the neighborhood of 3 inches of snow on the field, and they said, now it will melt, but we don't know how fast. So that's the reasoning behind the Tigers deciding, you know what, that doesn't work so well, but... my understanding, barring any problems, they'll be back at it tomorrow night with the pregame getting underway at 6:40. So tonight, regular programming here on the station. Tomorrow, we got the Tigers and Indians doing battle, and you'll be party to it right here. So you don't even have to go anywhere, and you get to enjoy baseball as well.
Right.
Beautiful, beautiful. Well, one thing that we all enjoy... and I say that rather euphemistically, the idea of tax day. And according to Gallup polling data on this, apparently 52% of us say that the amount they have to pay in federal income tax is too high, while 42% call it about right. That was a poll released yesterday that Gallup put out there. Now, the interesting thing is, you know, I always think it's interesting when you go through this, and I will admit, you know, the last several years when I've done my taxes, it's been with, you know, H&R Block has got their little program that they do, or TurboTax, either way. Because, to me, it's a little bit cheaper to do it that way, and they seem to cover everything. But here's the thing. How complex a system do we have that these programs have to go through and ask you all the questions they do? Do you have any overseas income? Did you have any overseas accounts? Did you? I mean, it's almost like they're about ready to ask you, have you ever hopped on one foot while shopping eBay wearing your pajamas? Well, yeah, I did that. Okay. Oh, my taxes went up. You know, I mean, it's just that complex. So you wonder if on a day like this, if it isn't time to say, all right, maybe it's time to do something a little different. Maybe it's time to do something, and it wouldn't necessarily be cheaper. It would be cheaper for some, wouldn't be for others, but simpler. We've talked about the flat tax. We've talked about the fair tax. There are people that are absolutely on the idea of whatever idea it is, they have to abolish the IRS. Basically saying that we would have to cut off all of that, come up with something different. Now, I'm not sure what's the best, and I want to hear from you on this. 382-4280, 877-382-4280, or 80373, and you can text us your thoughts on this, and we'll check in with Jeff from Richland. Hi, Jeff. Welcome to the program.
Thanks, Jeremy. How are you doing today?
Not doing well.
All right. Well, I guess my thought is that you give all wage earners $10,000 or $20,000 exemption right off the top, and then everything else is taxed at an even rate.
Okay.
You know, whether you got a mortgage and I happen to have one, whether you got kids and I happen to have three, but you know, I don't think that, you know, I know guys that I work with that don't have a mortgage payment and they don't have kids, and you know, why are they subsidizing me? I mean, it's...
Well, and you know, the initially all these ideas of, well, let's give an exemption to people with kids and let's do this for property owners and whatever. I mean, the whole idea is to, quote unquote, buy votes, whether or not it actually works or not. But
well, yeah,
but that's what it's all about.
Well, and you've got lobbyists in Washington, you know, the National Realtors Association being a very large one, and I'm sure there's several more that I can't pull off the top of my head, but quote, infuse money into our economy, but I guess everybody's got to figure out what their own comfort level is, and if they can afford that, you know, based on their wage. But I think to simplify the tax code, you know, it's like a business owner. If he's going to continually dump money back into his business by buying new equipment, better equipment, hiring more people or whatever else, if he's not taking a huge amount of profit out of the company, then, you know, this is a way of immediately rewarding him.
Mm-hmm.
Building his business as an asset that someday he can sell for his retirement or whatever else. I just see that the way the whole tax code is written, I mean, to me it ought to be a 3x5 card. You know, how much did you make this year? You put that line up there, you subtract $10,000 or $20,000 or whatever you're going to get per wage earner,
mm-hmm.
and everything gets multiplied by a really simple number.
Sure.
And it just seems really simple to me. I know there's too many fingers in the pie, and that begins in Washington and Lansing and every place else. But you get these people out of the equation, and, you know, there's no reason we have to have all these rules written for people doing what's right.
Well, and you know, if you actually sit down with a tax form, whether it be a state or a federal form, and you try to read through it, and you're going to do it yourself, I mean, you can do that. But it takes you a lot longer to go through all this because they start throwing numbers and letters and letter combinations and words that people like you and me haven't seen before.
Oh, there, you'd be amazed at how many I've seen. I got a pretty fat bunch of write-offs due to what I do for work. But,
sure.
You know, if that was taken away from me, you know, these are advantages I take because they're out there.
Mm-hmm.
But is it right for somebody else that doesn't have those things be subsidizing me?
I think the one thing, and Jeff, when you talked about this, businesses being able to get that nice little boost, be an awful lot of those business owners that say, now's the time I'm going to invest more in business, and that's good for the economy right there.
Exactly, and that way they wouldn't be taxed on that income from their business because
there you go.
Back into the business.
There you go. Gotta go. We got the news coming up. Thanks, Jeff.
All right, thank you.
Kalamazoo's news, weather, and traffic station is 590 WKZO. Kalamazoo.